Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Just as a side note, I had sent Precious some goals that I have for this year. I wanted her to print them out for me, and so that way I can continually look at them. You know, how many do that? You look at what you're trying to get to. It's important, because if you are aiming for something and you don't have what you're aiming up, it makes it difficult. Because then it starts to switch. Oh, I wanted to do this. And, you know, you make sure you get what you have in front of you. Amen. I believe that God, I think about just stories in the Bible. If you think about Joshua, he had a specific goal he was trying to go and do. His goal was not to just conquer Jericho. How many know Jericho was the first battle, right? Or it was just one of the battles. They battled right before they got into Jericho as well. But that was one. Joshua went and obliterated that whole area. And then God said, now you have your promised land. But he had a goal in mind. Somebody say goal. Goal in mind. Can you turn that thing down just a little bit? Because it's a little red. The thing on the, you see how, where the green light is? Turn it down just a tad bit, please. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Technician Precious. Hallelujah. But, we have to, a little bit more, we have to get to a place where we are setting things up. Turn it down some more. It's still red. You can see it. Where we are setting things up in our life. Turn it down. You're turning it up. Check. I'm sorry, guys. I can see the red, and that will sound bad in the recording. Hallelujah. Perfect. All right. Thank you. All right. But we have to have something in mind. So I just wanted to share that with you as we are still early in the year. There's some things that I've been praying about, and I don't just do like money goals. I have financial goals. I have spiritual goals, and then I have personal development goals. And all those things I try to look at throughout the year so I can make sure I am moving forward in what I want to do this year. And I know some people, they're like, oh, new year, it's just a new date. Sometimes it's good to measure yourself, and you can measure yourself easy by the year, especially with your finances, right? We all got to do taxes, and we're like, man, I made this much this year. Okay, cool. Last year, I didn't make as much. Oh, okay, cool. So we look at what we can do, and don't only measure your finances, but measure all things in your life. Amen? All right, we're going to continue in the series of the body life. Somebody say the body life. All right, it's important that we understand that us as Christians is not a just you by yourself thing. It's very important that us as believers catch this, okay? Because how many know even today there is so many people that will say things like, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church, right? I'm a Christian, but I can do this thing by myself. Really, that's kind of what they're saying. And that is very dangerous. You're missing the importance of God. God in himself is a triune being, which means there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Even within himself, God has fellowship. So when we are forming the body of Christ, even the bride of Christ, we understand that God's, his job is to bring us together, knit us together, so that we become one beautiful bride, amen? Now, I've been married almost 15 years to my bride, right? And when you get married and they got all the nice white and whatever color you have on, you nice, shiny, you're trying to look your best, right? You don't go to you should not, let me clarify. You should not go to a wedding being the person getting married looking a hot mess. I would say that's going to be a hot mess marriage, right? Because they are not prepared. God is trying to prepare us to look our best for when he comes. And how do we do that? We do that by getting together. Amen? Last time I preached, I talked about fellowship. I have a part that I was reading in one of my devotionals that I just wanted to highlight on that, and then we're going to move to the next point that we have, okay? I was reading in my devotional, and it said, the proclamation of the Christian message is essentially an invitation to fellowship. In the gospel, God calls us into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the essence of real Christianity. It says we must submit to know him and walk with him, listening to him through his word, speaking to him in prayer, and knowing his love, working with him. And then it said, but the fellowship is horizontal as well as vertical, which means it's with God, but it is also with his people. Okay? We come into fellowship with other Christians, and we become members of the body. Somebody say the body. And it says, part of the family of God. And then it says, here we are reminded that the state of our fellowship as Christians will affect our communication of the gospel. So I'm going to stop there for a second. The way you interact and react with other believers is going to change the way that people that are not saved look at Christianity. What did the Bible say? They will know us. Now, it didn't say they will know us by our love for God. Right? Because that sometimes that's easy. Oh, I love you, God, but I can't stand this person next to me who parks in my spot. You know what I mean? Or who just parks, who bumps my car. I mean, you got to deal with people, right? But it says they will know us by the love that we have for one another. Okay? When we are talking about fellowship, it is very important that we understand it goes beyond us. Somebody say it goes beyond me. That means, you know, a lot of young people say, you can't be in your feelings, right? That's when you, this person over here, I can't stand them. Listen, if you have a heart like that before you come to church, you have to let God heal you from that. You have to allow God to create in you a clean heart, renew a right spirit within. That means the same way, and even renew your mind, the same way you used to think before you got saved can't be the same way you think when you're saved, right? We had a slogan for the church when we first started. It was like New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you could come as you are, but you just can't stay that way, right? And my mom was like, that might be a little bit too harsh for some people, but it's the truth, right? You come as you are, all right? I don't care what you look like. I don't care what kind of lifestyle you live. But when you become a new creation, guess what? You can't stay that way. Your life has to change. I said in a song, once you get saved, there must be a change. You cannot be saved and do the same things, right? Many people think a Christianity think God is just covering my sins, but no, God wants to free you from the bondage of continuing to walk in that sin as well. Amen? So let me finish. So it's important because our fellowship will affect how the gospel is spread. What's the gospel? That's when we share about Jesus Christ. If we share about Jesus Christ, I don't know if you, let's just look at a picture. Let's say two people are going out to share the gospel on the streets, and those two people are arguing, right? But they're trying to invite somebody to get into what you're doing. Man, who's going to say, yeah, I want to be a part of that, right? Nobody. But we as a church do that. And sometimes it's on Facebook, right? Oh, I think this doctrine is right. Well, no, this ain't doctrine ain't right. Da, 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 da. And now you got a whole bunch of people watching you, and they'll say something like, see, that's why I'm not with the church. Because they don't got it together. Now, listen, I do believe in having proper doctrine, but I will never debate with somebody over the internet. I don't think it's going to work. Okay? If you want to talk, we can talk. Right? Even in debating, I shouldn't be thinking that I know everything, right? It's important because a lot of people that debate Christianity, they think they got it all together. And that's a dangerous place to be. But it says there is to be no divorce between fellowship with other believers and fellowship with God. All right, now in the day and age we have people that say, I have fellowship with God, and I have a real relationship with God, but I don't have no relationship with anybody that say they have a relationship with God. Okay? Dangerous. Says, it is significant that John put fellowship with us first. He said, understandably so, because it is the visible fellowship which attracts or repels the outsider. Okay? There is always a danger of being fruitful in proclamation and yet failing in fellowship. Oh, that's cold. It's dangerous to be like, hey, yeah, come on, keep bringing people in, but you don't have fellowship. Because I believe your fellowship is going to keep people in Christ. Right? I don't know about you, but I know my fellowship with other believers really helped me want to be more in God. The more I was around somebody else, or even the more I read the Bible with other people, I used to do this in high school. Had about four or five people we used to get on the phone and read the Bible together, right? All we do is read the Bible. Man, it was so much more exciting reading with friends, right, than it was when you read by yourself. Why? Because that's fellowship. And then if somebody says, hey, I don't understand it, guess what? Somebody on the line should know, and if they don't, we would ask the pastor, right? And that's when we're young, and as I got older, I would be able to help explain what it meant. But when you open yourself up to fellowship, you see things more clear or clearer. Amen. Last thing it says the test is whether fellowship with us will lead others into fellowship with God. That's powerful, too. If people are around you, are they going to want God? Man, that's a test. We have to be like, okay, somebody got to be around. Man, I like what you're about, Keith. Why are you like that? Man, it's because I got God in my life. And that happens. But we have to get there. Amen. Then it says, the last sentence says, no wonder revival always begins with fellowship and results in renewed proclamation of the message. Amen. So somebody say fellowship. It's important that we be amongst brethren. Even if you know somebody that's not going to church, but say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, encourage them to get around other believers. Because there's two things that can happen. One, I might have talked about it a little bit last time, but one is that the enemy wants you by yourself, because then you have no accountability. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You have no accountability, which means I'm watching out for you. If you fall, I'm going to help you back up, right? We're going to link, we're going to walk through this thing with you, right? That's important. I think accountability, without accountability, Christianity doesn't work, right? Okay, for example, without accountability, everybody that has a job, your job won't work if you don't have accountability, right? Sometimes the accountability is when you sign up, what is the things that they say they request of you or whatever it's called? Pretty much the request. This is what you need to do, right? When they map it out, they give you what you are accountable to do as long as you're at this job, right? Christianity, it has that in the scriptures, but you also need somebody that walks around you to make sure you are still doing, hey, look, hey, man, not to be judgmental, right? Not to say I got this all together, but the Bible says this, man. I don't know if you're really walking in that right now. Right? And when you do it out of love, instead of be like, man, what you doing? You look stupid. You know, like if you say, hey, man, I think God's word says this, and I just wanted to share it with you. Take it as you know, take it how you want to take it. That's important. That's accountability. Amen. So when I think accountability, it's really a word from accounts, which means to add up, make sure everything's adding up. If you have a bank account, you want to make sure those numbers are rising, right? You don't want a negative bank account, because then after a while, they'll close that bank account, right? But many of us, we have to have a spiritual bank account where we're saying, I need somebody to check what's going on. Have you ever called the bank and said, hey, man, something's not right? that somebody stole my card or something like that. That's they'll fix it because they have bylaws and rules that say I will uphold this amount according just in case somebody steals your account. Just in case somebody does something, you know, outside of what they're supposed to do. But we need accountability. I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for my sermon today. Think about Peter when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and the people were coming to take Jesus. The Sanhedrin were coming to take Jesus, right? Peter pulled out a sword and cut somebody's ear off, right? Now, guess what? What if Peter was there by himself? He would have thought that's what God's kingdom was about, right? He would have thought, hey, man, I'm protecting God. And this is dangerous when people, their accountability is not based fully in the scriptures, okay? Because I know some people that say that they are following God, but they're ready to fight in the natural. When if I look in the scripture and it says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. When we look at that, that lets me know that I can't fight the people that I'm in front of. The Bible also says, be at peace with all men as much as it can be on your side, as much as it depends on you. Okay. Be at peace. Right. So instead of pulling out your piece like Peter cut the guy's ear off. And I'm pretty sure he's like, what? Who wants it next? And Jesus was like, hey, hold up, Peter, that's not what we do. That's accountability. And we see it a lot with Peter, especially when he was around Jesus. We see Jesus having to check Peter a lot, right? And he's like, hey, Peter, man, you denied me. You're going to deny me three times. But we also see the accountability of not only when he denied, but how Jesus restored Peter three times. Amen? That's part of accountability. If somebody does wrong, help them get back, but also help them be strong. My favorite part of that whole story is at the end, after Peter was, after Jesus restored him, he said, now be strong and go restore your brothers. All right. He said, gird up. Now you're strong. Now you're back in place. Now go and bring the other people back in. Right. Jesus's whole mission with the disciples and the fellowship of the disciples is to make sure we are staying with him. Amen. Somebody say accountability. So I'm going to go through a few scriptures on accountability that I have. I got three scriptures and then I got another devotional that I was reading. How many know that it's good just to read the Bible? When you got different things going on, God will put those things together and you're like, oh man, shoot, I got to talk about that. It's exciting. Amen. So let's go to second. Well, let's do this. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Amen. And it says, but the end of all things is at hand. We know we are in the last days, right? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Therefore, so when we are in the last days, that means this is our job. When they say therefore, okay, this is part of the accountability. This is what we're supposed to do. It says, therefore, be serious. Somebody say serious. Serious. Now, does that mean you got to walk around mugging all the time? Like, man, I'm serious. I'm serious business. Every time they, hey, man, I'm serious. I can't even mess with you. I'm too serious right now. That's not what it's talking about. Not serious like that. But be serious in the point of I have a goal. I have a mission. I have a purpose that God has placed. And I will not allow anything to get me off that course. Okay? And then it says, be serious and watchful. Somebody say watchful. In your prayers, be watchful. Watchful in your prayers. That's what it says. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. How do you watch in your prayers? That's when you're praying for other people. God, I see somebody might be going through something. I don't know what they're dealing with. But God, I just pray that you move in that situation. Have you ever been stirred to pray for somebody? Yeah. Might be an ungodly hour. As I call them, those are the middle of the night hours. And you're like, dang, I don't know what's going on with so-and-so. Let me just pray for them. That's being watchful in your prayers. And also being watchful about yourself. God, guard my eyes. This is before you go somewhere. God, guard my eyes. Guard my heart. Keep my ways pure, Lord. These are prayers that we have to do. Why? Because we're in the last days. And the enemy's job in the last days is to separate people from God and separate people from the fellowship. And if you have no accountability, it's easy for him to get you. I tell you guys, I like to watch the animals hunt. I like to see the lions. If I'm watching lions, Obed, have you ever seen a lion in real person, like in Kenya? Uganda, I'm sorry. In Uganda, did you ever see one just coming through the village? Oh, praise God. In a park. Okay. So my wife was watching a bear. She's showing me that there was a bear in Renton one time in the tree, right? Just chilling. And that came about because I've been seeing a lot of coyotes in our area, right? So we don't have any lions out there, but hey, we have bears and stuff like that. But a bear or a coyote or any kind of animal that is hunting, it's not going to go where there's a whole bunch of people because there's accountability. Might be somebody with a sword ready to protect, right? There might be somebody, there's too many people. But if he can get that person that says, I don't need nobody, I'm going to walk on this street by myself. Guess what? That's an easy attack, right? They even got cougars. Now cougars are really dangerous. There's cougars in the area that I live in. Sometimes. Now, they're more dangerous because they will jump on you. They'll hide. You won't even know. But they won't do it with a whole bunch of people around because they're scared of fellowship. Catch that. They are fearful of fellowship. All the kids that are in high school, if you want to have a strong relationship with God, get around other people that have strong relationships with God. That helps, right? It helps when your friend, instead of your friend telling you, hey, man, let's go do this. Let's go get in trouble. Let's skip school today. If you got somebody like, hey, man, can you read this scripture with me today? That helps you. Keeps you in line, right? It's important. So it says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Right? For love, listen to what it says. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Your accountability to your brother or your sister is to love them so much, even beyond the sins that they've walked in. Now, I know today in the church, if you cross that line right there, you left my building, right? We have no more fellowship. Right? And that's dangerous. Now, I do believe that the Bible talks about correct them, and if they don't get corrected, you know what I mean, and they keep doing it, and you correct them again, after a while, you're going to have to let them go on their own, so that the Bible says so that they will find out that they really need salvation, right? But it is our job. Just because somebody falls, it doesn't mean that we disassociate ourselves with them. You have to love them through that. Okay, says that's our job. Our love for one another is important. It's so important that the love that we have will cover a multitude of sins. Now, our love won't forgive sins, but it can help cover them. Right? It can help them understand, man, God's love is still there. Have you ever seen somebody down and, oh, man, I messed up so much? They might be even crying, but if you come in and say, God loves you so much, they feel the love of God through you standing in their mess with them. And that makes a difference. Somebody say accountability. It says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. All right, yeah, that's when you have Thanksgiving. It's funny. Some people, when Thanksgiving come, oh, I can't stand all these people coming to my house. It's too much people. You ever heard somebody talk like that? And I'm like, man, why are you tripping? You know what I mean? Like, because they have to be hospitable, and that's not in their nature. Right? Or they just would rather be alone. They don't want to have to clean a million dishes after Thanksgiving. But it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Then it says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Use your gifts. This is part of your accountability. You have a gift, and if you're not using it, you're making us suffer. We got to look at it like that sometimes. All right, so my daughter's team, we had a basketball game today. And my daughter, her job is to pass the ball into the point guards before we go down. And my daughter was throwing the ball so hard at them. And I'm like, Kayla, what are you doing? So they can't catch it because they're too close. Right? And I'm like, hey, I mean, it happened 3 times. And I was like, get her out. Come in. Somebody else come in. Now, I was like, you can't pass it. I'm letting her know, you can't pass it like that. You got to give it to her. You know, we had our first game with full court press. So that means if nobody watched basketball, that means they play defense all the way on both sides of the field. And if you're trying to pass the ball in, it's not easy, okay? So I had to take her out. And I was like, I kind of let myself calm down and let the game go. And she's crying. You know, anytime dad takes her out for a reason like that, she's upset, right? So I'm like, listen, I talked to her. You can't pass it like that. It's too close, okay? If they're close, you have to do this. I had to use my daddy, soft daddy voice, right? So I'm like, hey, here, go in there and do this. She went back in the game and did great. She finished great, okay? So then my son had a game. And lo and behold, he had a moment in the game where he was just like, I don't know how to explain it more than he was in outer space in the middle of the game. Okay? And I'm like, son, get on your man. Who you got? And he did like this. Right? And I was like, bro, what are you doing? So there was a timeout. I said, do you want to play or not? And he gave me one of them sad faces. And I was like, no, get out. Go out. Until you're ready, I'm going to put somebody else in. So I put somebody else in and he was kind of pouting on the bench. I said, listen, bro, you can go sit with your mom on the other side if you don't get it together, right? And then all the other kids are like, whoa, coach is intense, right? But then I went to him and I said, son, it's very important that you stay on your man. You can't be caught up in la-la land. You got to go back in and play and be aggressive. So then I put him in, you know, to finish the game, and he did much better, right? But there is going to be times where we are in that la-la land. Or we are throwing the ball to somebody like this close, super hard, not understanding what we're doing, but you need somebody to tell you, hey, that's not right. And when it's not right, it doesn't always feel good. Have you ever got rebuked by somebody and it didn't feel good, but you know it was the right thing? Now, some people get rebuked. They know it's the right thing, but they be like, I don't like how he said it. Could have said it a different way. Right? I'm not going back to that church because he hurt my feelings. But it was the right thing. I tell my kids this all the time, and I even tell the kids on my team, if I don't try to coach you or talk to you while you're at the game or at practice, that's because I don't believe that you can do it. Right? If a pastor speaks a word to you to correct you, it's because he believes in you, right? If he didn't, he wouldn't even say nothing. You know how hard it is to rebuke somebody at times? Have you ever had somebody going the wrong way? You're like, man, that's my friend, though. I'm trying to figure out how to say it. Hey, you might be like, hey, ain't no way to do it but to do it, right? So you say, hey, man, look, bro. I mean, I've had some tough conversations with some of my friends. After that, you're kind of like, okay, we might be walking on eggshells for a couple of days. But at the end, they come back because we are already friends. And they be like, man, what you said is what I needed to hear. That really impacted me. That's accountability. Amen? So your gift is important. Use it. and be a good steward of what God has put in your heart and what he's put in you. The last verse, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Your part of your accountabilities, everybody might not be a preacher, but if God has said something to you, speak it. Be diligent in it, okay? Whatever God has placed in you, you have to use. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I got two verses over here that I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. It's towards the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 and 12. And it says, finally, this is the end of this Corinthians book. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Then it says this, become complete. And when I read that, I'm like, wow, that's dope. Because we don't like to eat incomplete food. At least I don't. Right? My daughter and my wife and them guys were making brownies the other day. If it's an incomplete brownie, it doesn't taste as good as when it's complete. Paul is telling the Corinthians and the church, because he's writing it to the church in Corinthians, be complete. Then it says how to be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Somebody say one mind. Then it said, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And the God of love and peace be with you. We have to walk in peace. We have to walk in love. We have to walk together so that we can become complete as the body of Christ. That's accountability. I'm not here by myself. I mean, Tamron, you play football. My dad been talking about football all the time, right? You got 11 people on the field. 11 people have 11 different jobs. But as a whole, that 11 people, they work together to get the job complete. Now, you've probably been on a field where somebody didn't like somebody else. Might not have been the best of friends, but when that game started, they figured out a way to come together because they had a mission to complete, right? When you are at your job, you might not have everybody that you're just buddy-buddy with. You might not really like them that much, but you're like, hey, look, while we're here, we got to figure this thing out, okay? But see, in the body of Christ, we let that stuff separate us all the time. I don't really like that person, but guess what? Pray that you can learn to like that person, right? Get over it. Just because their breath don't smell the greatest don't mean you can't love them, right? Man, that person's breath always, oh, man. I mean, we find the littlest things to keep us separated. But it says to become complete, we have to be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. Then it says this. Now, this is interesting because this was their culture, but it said, greet one another. Are you laughing at me, Terry? With a holy kiss. All right. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I am not in for it. It was a different culture. Okay. French, the French people, they usually kiss on both cheeks, right? That's part of their culture, even now. Some Italians, they still do that. Now, we don't do that, but it shows that the love that they have for one another, all right? Spiritually, we should have that same kind of love for one another, right? Where we trust them to be close to us. Where we trust them to walk with us through this thing. Somebody say accountability. The last scripture I have is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And it says, and let us consider one another. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly, we've heard this before. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. All right, what is that saying? It says, don't neglect coming together as the body of Christ. Don't neglect going to church. And it says, because some people are already doing that. Even back in, what book is this? This is in Hebrews, when the writer wrote to the church in of Hebrew or whatever. Basically, he was writing to the people, the children of Israel, right? He wrote this then because some people said, hey, I'm with God, but I'm not going to do that church thing. I'm not feeling it. I don't know. Look, your church could be doing great things, but somebody's going to find something that they don't like. Have you ever had a friend that was looking for a church and they're like, yeah, I'm just looking for a church. And then you ask them, what are you looking for? I don't know. That's the first thing they say. Well, hey, well, I don't know what kind of church you're going to find if you're looking for an I don't know church. Right? It happens all the time. Because they have, you see how God ties everything? They have no goal. So when you have no goal, you're just shooting and you're like, oh, yeah, that might work. Right? If I have no goal and I'm shooting archery or I'm even shooting a gun or a BB gun or whatever, it don't matter what I hit because I have no goal. And you get excited about it because you have no goal. But you're missing the point. The point is to be assembling together. It's funny, I saw this this Christian comedian. His name is John Crist, and he had this one comedy thing. And it was, anybody seen House Hunters before? A lot of people watch House Hunters. He had this show. He had this little skit called Church Hunters. All right. And he was walking into church, and he's like, you know, he got somebody explaining to him all the things. He was like, that's still interesting. You know, like, have you ever, you watch them, and maybe the people that are searching for a house, they're like, I don't want that. I want this, right? People, when they're trying to get their house, they know more of what they want than people when they come to church, right? Oh, when I go to church, at least I got to have that organ. I need that B3 sound so I can really get down and worship, right? I need an usher who ain't worried about my gum, right? I mean, all that stuff don't matter. Anybody, if you had your gum taken, I'm sorry, right? That stuff does not matter. We're looking at the superficial issues. Ever see somebody go into a house and be like, that paint, I can't stand that paint. You know how much, it's not that expensive to change the paint. That's the easiest thing. Oh, man, that wallpaper, I can't. That's easy to get taken down. But for some people, that would deter them from saying, I want this house. And in this comedy skit, he was saying all the things that deter people from coming to church. Right? Oh, the parking lot is so full. I got to park all the way in the back. He was like, well, we could just do church on live stream today. You know, I mean, there's so many different things people use as an excuse. But God's word says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves or the coming together. It says, as is the manner of some. Then it says, but exhort one another, which build up. Correct, strengthen, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so what does that mean, the day? Somebody help me real quick. What's the day that's approaching? All right, the second coming of Christ. So as we see that coming, it says we need to exhort more and more. We need to gather more and more, right? We need to gather more and more as we see God is coming. Why? Because he's trying to make us complete. And your accountability is to come together with the people of God. That's part of your accountability. Not only for them, but for yourself. Okay? That, if God had to look at the church accounts and he say, hey, man, that person was missing. And you guys are all at church, so he ain't talking to me. But guess what? Don't just come to church and not fellowship. There might be something God told you to say to somebody that might really uplift them. Right? Some of us get to the place Even the young kids, they come to church. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm here. Man, you coming encourages me. Right? You never think about that. I've preached to just my family before. Many times. So when I see other people, it's like, hallelujah, somebody's here. And when I'm not at church, hey, mom and dad, who was at church today? I know I couldn't make it because we had something going on, but who was there? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, we had this guy, and this person came this week, and we hadn't seen him in a while. I'm like, praise God. Why? Because I want to see who's coming together and see what God is doing. Amen? All right, I'm going to read this part of my devotional, and then we will close. Another part, it says, encouragement is the primary purpose of our meeting together. How many know people that are going through so much things, and if we don't actually come together and encourage, they leave this place and they don't leave changed. Something is missing from our assemblies if we go away discouraged. All the activities of meeting together, teaching, fellowship, breaking of the bread, prayer are literally loaded with encouragement. When things are as they should be, our own encouragement will not be our chief motive in gathering with others. We go to be taught and thus built up in the hope we profess. We share with one another in the way of love and good deeds. Neglecting to meet together is a habit to be avoided. The practical cause of discouragement amongst Christians then and now is getting into this habit of not meeting together. Behind the habit are deeper causes such as lethargy, lukewarmness, and a love of the world. Once the habit is formed, it can have devastating effects. The merely discouraged may become hardened and turn to backsliding. It is surely significant that solemn warning follows the exhortation in Hebrews. Then it says, living in the light of the Lord's coming is relevant here. If we thought the Lord would come tomorrow, we probably would go to the meeting tonight. Right? How many people would be in a church if we knew Jesus is coming tomorrow? Ooh, I better get right. Hallelujah. I better get a praise on that I ain't never praised before. Right? I need to share that message that he told me to preach. But we have to hold each other accountable. Even in coming to church, but not just coming to church, but being the church, which is the body of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray and we pray to God that you would allow us to walk in what you've called us to walk together. Knit us together, dear God. Help us to be able to strengthen one another. Help us to encourage. Help us to build each other up in the faith, oh God. I pray to God that today, dear God, that we would even have a new understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. That we strengthen once again. We build. We link up with your people so that you be proud of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.